Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 134 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Today, really excited to have back with us Danielle Dame. She's a sugar freedom coach and speaker who is passionate about helping women reshape their relationship with sugar so they can reclaim control over their health and energy once and for all. Having struggled with sugar addiction herself, she knows exactly how difficult and overwhelming the journey can be. Using her extensive knowledge in nutrition, personal experience, and coaching, Dani helps her clients discover a new way of living in which sugar cravings and guilt no longer controls their health and life. Dani is also the host of the top-rated Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast, where she dives deep into conversations about the root causes of sugar dependency and total body and health wellness. Welcome back, Dani.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be back. It's long overdue and really excited for our conversation today.
Me too. And if you haven't listened to Dani's first interview, I'll link that here in the notes so you can listen. Because in that, was you really go into kind of your story and health journey. But today, I'm just so excited to have you back. I really want to kind of dig in another layer. So maybe though, just to start, for people that maybe missed that first episode and want to listen right now, maybe just a quick recap of how you got into this world of, you know, and your own little journey of, and how you, where you are now helping other people get free from sugar.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Siobhan, for that. And I'll keep it short because we definitely, you know, I shared the long version of my story on our first episode. So everybody go and absolutely listen to that. So, you know, my story started very much like everyone I've ever met, you know, it's in childhood where, you know, looking back now, you know, my hindsight is what do they say? 2020, right? I grew up in a typical, you know, household. We, you know, ate relatively healthy, but at the same time, I was such a picky eater growing up that my mom couldn't get me to eat anything with nutritional value. So yes, sometimes she'd snuck in vegetables on me. I didn't like meat. I pretty much just wanted the white stuff, which I know now is just sugar, right? So I wanted the white pasta with cheese or bagels with cream cheese or the white rice with butter. Like that was what I wanted, right? Like, so there was no doubt, right? From a very young age, you know, my taste buds were like, feed me the carbs, right? Feed me the sugar. And then combine that with like so many, right? The treats all day long, right? When I was a good girl, I would get a treat at the end of, you know, when dinner was over, we'd have dessert. We even had this trunk that we would actually make our own little mixed goodie bags with candy. And if we did something good, or, you know, we would get to go into the trunk and pick one of those out. So there was just like, there was a lot of sugar, to say the least. My mom was always a huge lover of sugar, definite sugar addict as well, you know, which is handed down to me, right? I learned that patterning from her and how to use sugar to really just get through life, right? Every single day there was sugar. There was never a day without sugar. And it was just, you know, how we thought the world worked right back in the day. And, you know, growing up, that was my everyday. So, you know, that physical and emotional psychological addiction to sugar very much started for me at a young age. Like I think it does for everyone. And I went off to, university. I was always very active. So I never really gained weight from the way I was eating, but I did notice, you know, all of the other physical symptoms starting, you know, really feeling tired, the brain fog, especially trying to study late at night, right? And I would use sugar to get through. So it was this vicious cycle and roller coaster. I know so many of you can relate to, right? It was like, you know, get me another bowl of ice cream or coffee or pizza or pasta or something like that's going to keep me awake so I can study and cram for my exam the next day. So I really just, you know, went through university like that, the typical sort of university diet. I started to, because I was becoming a young woman, I definitely started to think about, you know, eating real food, like, oh, I should be eating vegetables, right? So I would have salad or I would have, you know, here and there, I would eat something of nutritional value, right? But at the same time, every weekend, it was going out drinking, eating the pizza, having all the ice cream and the candy. And like, it was just everywhere. So leaving university out into the real world, I went and actually worked in the finance industry. A lot of people don't know that. Did my 2-year stint there in an environment that was extremely toxic, to say the least. And that is really, and we can dive more into this maybe later, because I know we're going to have a bit of an emotional conversation, but that was really where, you know, I really, looking back, I can see exactly what was happening there, is how disconnected I was from myself and my purpose and how miserable I was. I was depressed. I was stressed. I was anxious. And I was coming home every day, filling that void with food, with wine, with Netflix, like anything I could do to numb out and escape like this inner emotional turmoil that I was going through. Luckily, both my husband and I at the time woke up to what was going on and really took a huge leap of faith. We quit our jobs after 2 years and said, there has to be more to life. We cannot do this anymore. Like, this is not worth it. And we went traveling. So we went to South America for a year and traveled and volunteered and just experienced other cultures. And it was really on that trip that I started inward reflection. I started learning about spirituality, and I'd never really had a belief system to follow before, and just really tapping into the earth and Mother Nature, and being at some retreats there was really eye-opening for me to connect deeper at a deeper level with my body and also with how I was nourishing it or how I was not nourishing it. And that just was really eye-opening, seeing how people down there actually cooked their meals. They didn't just do takeout and fast food. They had a different relationship and connection with where their food came from. They were shopping at the market, you know, not at McDonald's. And it was really just eye-opening, I think, subconsciously for me to see that going on and to start reflecting on how was I actually looking after my body as I'm growing up and getting older. And the truth that I wasn't, right? That I was feeding it a lot of really toxic foods and not really looking after it. And at the end of that trip, we spent 2 weeks at a yoga retreat in the middle of the Colombian jungle, in the middle of nowhere, totally disconnected from the outside world, completely living off the land. It was very out of my comfort zone at the time. Now I would have no problem doing that. But at the time it was like, oh my goodness, what do you mean there's no cell reception? Like, what are we going to do? We can't just go to the corner store and get candy whenever we want. No. So that was where I went through what I call my accidental sugar detox, because we were living off of only whole foods. There was no packaged foods for me to shove in my face. We went through a processed food detox, we'll call it. It wasn't just the sugar. It was all the other processed stuff too, that we were eating for, you know, the 12 months of our trip. And this was at the end of the trip, luckily. And I remember feeling really weak and exhausted. And I remember having a headache and having my bowel movements, having some troubles. I remember having trouble sleeping. So I didn't know at the time, but I was going through withdrawals, right? Like my body was totally out of whack, had no idea what was going on. And that's really where things started to click for me in my journey with sugar. I came home wanting to have all these sugary things that I used to love. And when I did, I couldn't stand the taste of them anymore. So my taste buds had started growing back, and I started noticing that sugar had this pull and control over me, because that was gone now. So the cravings weren't the same. And I started noticing that contrast and that difference. And I really started just being curious about that. And also about what I was going to do with the rest of my life and what my purpose was, right? So there was a lot going on, but I really started noticing, you know, how my body was feeling and reacting, eating, you know, the crappy foods that we've been eating for 12 months and beyond, and before that, my whole life. and really started getting more curious about eating clean. And we did that. We spent a good couple months eating clean when we got home. We just wanted to feel better. And a part of that was really taking out sugar and really noticing the changes that that made in our body, how much more energy we had, how much more clear our brain was. We lost a bit of weight. Like, we were just feeling really good. And we just started having that, like that connection. So that was the start for me. That was really, you know, the start of my aha moments, and they kind of unfolded over a couple months. And then I went into this quest for, I say it took me a good 2 years to really get to a place with sugar where, and I know you have lots of different people with different opinions on the podcast, Siobhan, but I'm in the moderation camp. Like, I definitely am at a place where I can choose when and how much sugar to have and have it be from a place of self-love and control instead of guilt and shame and addiction. So really, you know, allowing that flexibility in my life, not saying that I can't have something for the rest of my life, but choosing to on a daily basis to not overdo it, right? And not have sugar every day and really be intentional with it. And we're going to dive into why that is and how I got there. I have a very unique process that I guide my clients through that's really, really unique compared to what a lot of people do. And it's really uncovering these root causes and doing the inner work to shift from the inside out. And that takes time. So it took me, because I was all on my own, struggling, not having a clue that anyone else struggled with sugar. This is so, like, so wild to me. This was about 6 years ago now, right? And I'm sure you had this similar story, Siobhan. You're like, I'm all alone in this. I'm the only one that, you know, has trouble with sugar. And I definitely was the only one who was aware of it in my family and friends. And so it was very weird navigating that. And that's why it took me 2 years, you know, really being all alone, trying to just figured out, having a good week and then binging for a week and then having 3 good weeks and then binging for a week. You know, like, there was just the roller coaster for years before I really, you know, really felt grounded and settled in it. So that's what sparked this inspiration for me to really help others shorten that 2 year period, help women really step into their power, find their voice and reconnect with themselves in a way that makes eating easy or eating healthy and being healthy, effortless, right? Coming from this grounded, centered place within us where we can make these choices from self-love and not let our negative Nancy mindset, you know, really take us down a toxic path. So that's as short as I could make that story. Hopefully that was short.
So that was perfect. And I love, it just seems like the timing to me, sometimes it's like everything just aligns in the right timing with you taking that trip and everything just falls into place. Like, I feel like my story is similar when things just kind of fell into place. And then I was able to make these big changes. But what I like that you're talking about is it was a process for you, and it is a process. And we're going to talk about that a lot today, that it's not just simply, I wish it was as simple as just giving up, you know, the sugar, flour, processed foods, but there's a lot of inner work to do as well. So you really took your time going through that. And I think that's what makes it sustainable and as a lifestyle change, is when you really take that time and do the inner work. So, and I love to, I love your story, but I always love too that this is something that your husband and you did together, which I just think is so powerful as well. Just having that support and going through, like you said, it can feel like you're the only person in the world that struggles. And I do love that this time, you know, like this year, 2022, it does seem like there's so many more resources out there. Even, you know, your podcast, so many podcasts, so much, like, I love that people can get help so much easier than even just a few years ago. So that makes me really happy. And I like, for both of us, I think when you feel such a profound change and you feel so much better, of course you want to help other people get that way. So it makes total sense to me that that's what drew you to, you know, the finance world, to becoming this sugar freedom coach, is because just of how amazing you felt and just wanting to share that with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a beautiful process. And I still, that's very much still how I coach and I lead my clients, is like every every month I'm doing some deep inner healing and work. And I share that like raw and real. And because I think that's how we all grow, is knowing that we're all in this stickiness together. I mean, as of late, you know, the last 3 months, I've been doing some serious inner child healing that I've never even been aware of that was there for me. And it's bringing up some really big wounds and some really big like aha moments around, oh yeah, I was filling that with food. Right. So there's always another layer. And I think that's really important. I know you're really good at that too, Siobhan, is like sharing this journey and knowing that we're, you and I and everyone else who's, you know, maybe a couple steps ahead of any of you listening, right? Knowing that we're still on the journey too, right? Like we're always uncovering things. And I think that level of realness and authenticness is missing in a lot of the health industry. And I think that's so important. And that's how I attempt to show up very differently, you know, and really being that source of realness and authenticity that we're so craving and missing.
And just not pretending that, yes, it magically is all better now. Like, you know, no. It is, it's a process like you're saying. And I say, I handle life stress a lot better, but it's not like my life is perfect all of a sudden. So I think it's really important to share that. And also, I actually love the continued healing journey part. Like, you know, when you're saying you're getting into your inner child work, I'm like, ooh, like I love that stuff now, because I just think it's fascinating. And it's just this other information and data that you're getting about yourself. And you just can, you know, just know yourself more and more. It's just a very powerful, once you're in touch with that, it's just very, very empowering.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people listening, I want to add this to that. Like I always joke that that's my new addiction, is like learning about myself, right? The good things and the bad. Like I have some really close girlfriends that'll point out when I'm, you know, doing not so great things or like having a bad pattern. And I'm like, oh, yep. That wasn't good. Thank you. Like, I totally love that now. Like, thank you for pointing that out. Now I get to like work on that if I want to. But I think a lot of people listening, like if you've never really started going on this inward journey, it can feel very overwhelming and scary and difficult. And I know we're going to talk a bit more about emotions today. Like it can feel really hard to feel, right? To start to feel again. It can be really scary, and it brings up a lot of the ego fears. And, you know, I just want you to know that it's normal. And just like you were saying, Siobhan, like you do get to a point where that becomes actually fun. Right. I don't know if fun's the word for me. It is. I'm like, yes, I want to learn more about me. In the beginning, it was really like difficult, and it felt painful to learn these things or to have to face these truths about how I was showing up or the patterns that I was running by. But now it's like, bring it on. Like now it's like, yes, this is awesome, because I know it's going to help me improve, and I know it's going to just support me. So just know that it's like the beginning of a detox, right? You're like, the first couple of weeks suck, but after that, you're like, I got this. So just know that's the same with this inner stuff as well. You will get to a point where you're like, okay, I can handle this. Like we build that trust with ourselves and our bodies and know that we can do it, right? That we can, you know, whatever comes our way.
I love that. Well, let's like dig in a little bit. So what do you see, I think it's a good place to start, as the biggest mistake that people make, you know, when they start, you know, on this journey?
Yes. So this journey to sugar freedom that I call it. And yes. I want to say this too, because again, I realize that, you know, there's people listening that, you know, really want to abstain from sugar for the rest of their life. There's some that maybe want to be in a healthy relationship with sugar, right? Where they can maybe have some here and there at a birthday party if they want, if they choose to. So no matter where you are or what your goal is, you know, which by the way is your choice and your journey, and it can be whatever you want it to be. You know, wherever you're at, like what I've seen, you know, is hands down the biggest issue, I'll call it, in the industry of sugar addiction and support, is this belief that we all have that in order to get rid of my sugar cravings, in order to, you know, heal myself from sugar addiction, all I have to do is just go off sugar. All I have to do is go 30 days or 90 days, or like you did, a year. All I have to do is get sugar out of my life and just willpower my way through it. And then my body will rebalance, my cravings will go away, and all will be bright and shiny in the world again. And I used to believe this too. So this is a huge mistake that I see almost everyone making. And then they come and listen to this podcast and go, oh my goodness, Danny, like, wow, my mind is blown. Because what's happening here, and how I discovered this, okay, this mistake is that year after year, in the first two-ish years of my business and working with women in this way around sugar, I realized like no matter how long they detox from sugar, as soon as we ended, you know, they would go back into the old patterns and habits, right? They would like something stressful would happen, a pandemic would hit, and they'd be face down in the cookies again, right? And it was like, wow, I was feeling so good. Why did I sabotage myself? And so I became really, really fascinated. I think it's my personality. It's just like, I was really observing and aware of like what these patterns that were happening with my clients in the beginning years of the work that I was doing, and really started becoming fascinated by the root cause. So like what is actually going on below the physical component of our addiction to sugar, right? So the physical part gets dealt with when we take sugar out of our diet. Fantastic. Very important. Okay. Don't misunderstand me there. Very important to do that part. But if you don't also at the exact same time find your root causes, you will forever be on the sugar addiction roller coaster. So this is like the big moment, because when we start to understand that our relationship with sugar, with food, has nothing to do with sugar and everything to do with our relationship with ourselves. I want to say that again, because that's big, right? Our relationship and our addictive patterns with sugar have nothing to do with sugar itself, but everything to do with our relationship with ourselves. So what I mean by that is that we all have these deep rooted patternings, subconscious neural pathways that are running the show. That's how we make decisions every day. That's how we operate. That's how we handle stress. That's how we deal with an argument. It's how we just operate every day. We operate from these belief systems we have, our view of the world, our sense of identity, who we think we are, our emotional like patterning, right? How do we handle emotions? Do we, or do we ignore them and stuff them down like I used to? So all of these very deep inner wirings, we'll call them patterns, are running the show. And if we don't rewire those neural pathways, no matter how long you go off sugar, you're still going to have those old, we can call them habits, if that maybe makes more sense for a lot of you listening, right? We're just going to go right back into old habits, right? Something stressful is going to happen. We're going to be face down in the ice cream, right? Or, you know, we have an argument, something's going to happen, right? Or our mother triggers us, or we're in a situation where, you know, we go to Disneyland, and Disneyland has always been somewhere that we just binge on sugar. So we're doing it again, because it's these patternings in our brain that are running the show subconsciously. So we're not aware of them, which makes them tricky to identify, but not impossible. So this is the mistake I see so many people making, is just focusing on the physical and forgetting about the psychological, forgetting that what's up here in our head is actually running the whole show. Not the whole show. Okay. Yes. Our gut bacteria and the physical cravings are running some of the show. We can get rid of those, but until we actually open up these inner pieces and understanding, oh, that's why I'm going to food, right? That's why, outside of the physical components, which are real, right? Real, leading to cravings, but most cravings are from a deeper spot. They're from a place of disconnection from ourselves, a place of not feeling worthy, not feeling lovable, like these really deep inner wounds. And I know I mentioned our inner child healing. I mean, that's where a lot of that comes from. Those first 7 years of life, like we start to learn about ourselves and how we show up in the world and how to survive, essentially. And a lot of us are carrying around these core wounds, and they're really running the show. You know, if we're not feeling it, the love and the connection and the sense of worth and enoughness, we're going to fill that void with food, right? Or any other addictive substance. I mean, this is really a root of any addiction, right? So it's the why behind reaching for sugar that so many people are totally skipping over. And I'll be honest with you, because I'm always honest, it's not easy. Like, this is why people want to avoid it, right? It's painful. It's difficult. It's overwhelming. It feels like crap. I hope I can say that sometimes. And this is where you need to have the right support. And you need to have someone in your corner, whether it's me or Siobhan or someone else, like, please, like, this is actually, and I'm not just saying that, like, this is actually impossible to do on your own. This is not something we can't see our blind spots, because we have our lenses on that we've always had on. We must have someone in our corner that can help us see a different way and help us really open up those new pathways in our brains. So whatever, however you do that, do it. Okay. Just like don't trick yourself and think like, I got this, I can do it on my own, because you'll just keep hitting yourself against a wall. Like I did for 2 years until I finally hired a coach and started working with people and mentors and like, oh, making new friends that were now mirroring these things back to me because we had really beautiful relationships. And that's when things started to change. So really just understanding that there's more to it, and also understanding that it's okay that that's going to take some time. I think we do live in a society where we want the quick fix. And I think it's just a natural tendency. We all have it. I have it. I notice it sometimes. I'm like, wait a second, take some time with this. It's okay that these things take time, and it doesn't have to take 2 years. I mean, I run a 10-week program, and after 10 weeks, I mean, so much can shift. And I'm sure you, the same experience, Siobhan, like, you know, really getting to a solid place when you're in the right community with the right support and guidance in that process, you know, it can really make just a monumental shift in just a couple of weeks, but it does take time even after that, right? I'm not going to lie. This is a lifelong journey. And this is why so many people want to avoid it, because it's not the like 30 days or 60 days, right? But if that's where you need to start, start there, right? And I really encourage you to do this at the same time, right? When you've removed, say you're doing a 30-day detox, right? You're getting started, which is amazing. Just be aware that there's this inner component, right? You're essentially removing your crutch for 30 days. So when that crutch is gone, there's this beautiful opportunity to look inward and be like, okay, what was I using this crutch to hide from or to avoid or to numb out from? Like what's here? What's in this space now that sugar is no longer filling? And just be curious about that and just start there, right? Start journaling, start being curious. And from there, you're just going to keep going down, you know, that curiosity like rabbit hole in a good way, and continue learning and having these awarenesses around what's coming up for you and where that's coming from. Which for most of us, by the way, a little hint is like, you know, our childhood, our childhood first 7 years of life. That's usually where, you know, all the shit hit the fan, and we can trace everything back there and start to heal and to repattern that. And it is such a life-changing process. And I hope that everybody can do that just one step at a time and know that there is support out there and you are more than capable, and it's okay when things get hard. Like it's all part of the journey. But if you want to be free from sugar in whatever way you're doing it or your goal is, you've got to look inward. You have to start getting curious about why am I going to sugar when things get hard? Why, you know, why am I snacking every night? Like what is going on here? And just bring that curiosity and that kindness for yourself as you start doing that. So that's the biggest mistake I see. I don't know if you've seen that as well in your work, Siobhan.
Definitely. And I love just how you address, you know, doing something like simultaneously, you know, with my, you know, 10-week program as well. That's what we're doing, like at the same time, because I also didn't do that. I didn't really start addressing the emotional stuff until about a year into my journey. And that's when I found Emotion Code, and that helped me tremendously. But just like you, I don't want to see people struggle that long. It shouldn't be that hard for that long. There are so many great resources and support out there. And I have really found, especially in that group setting, it's so powerful. I am continually like inspired and just amazed by how that just really helps people, and going through having that support of people that get it and either have gone through it or going through it, even when you're in different phases. I have people in my groups that are in different phases, and like you said, different goals probably for outcome, but it's still such a supportive environment that feels really safe. I think that's like another big component for me, is that feeling of safety. Like, we got you, there's no judgment here, and you can just kind of relax and be yourself, you know, where I know I've heard other people that have come to me that have had really bad experiences in other coaching type programs that was just not that kind of like atmosphere, I guess. So I also really say that if you have tried and worked with coaches and it wasn't a good fit, there are so many other programs out there. Really find it, you're worth it. Invest in yourself and find that person or program that really kind of resonates with you, because it is out there. And like now I'm excited because I think there's so much more of that available for people now.
Yeah,
but no need, because it is a hard journey regardless, like you're saying. And I just realized for me, how uncomfortable I am being uncomfortable.
Like, yeah, welcome to the club.
I do not like to be uncomfortable. Like, even still, I fight, like you said, you know, these patterns come up and I'm like, yeah, you just got to be uncomfortable. It's okay. So it is like really nice to have that support and coaching, I think, when you're really, because you're feeling very vulnerable, very fragile. And like you said, that coping mechanism, your crutch is taken away. You really need to know that people have you and support you. So
Yeah. And can we talk about that for a second? Because like, I'm feeling really called. Like, this is such a big wound for all of us, I think, especially as women, how we and I feel confident saying this, as women, we all have some sort of example in our earlier years where we were shunned by other women or talked negatively about or judged or like really hurt. Like, you know, I was actually just reflecting on this. I know I've just shared, I'm doing some inner child stuff. And, you know, when I was in grade 7, I showed up at school one day and all of my friends had decided they weren't my friends anymore. And like, how does something like that imprint in such a deeply hurtful, powerful way, you know, to teach me to don't trust women, don't let friends get too close, don't be too vulnerable, like all of these immediately, right? These survival mechanisms and beliefs kind of pop up in my brain. And I think exactly what you're saying, I have to echo this, Siobhan, because, you know, I'm going to be hosting another, group in, actually a brand new program of mine in April. And, you know, this will be, I think, the 10th group I've hosted, I think in the last couple of years. And it's just like, so out of this world when, like, I know you and I both create very safe space and how important it is beyond, you know, healing our relationship with sugar, but healing our relationship with other women is like one of these side benefits of what we're doing and knowing that we can show up authentically and not be judged. I mean, on my welcome calls with my group, I tell everybody like, show up without makeup, don't wear a bra, don't shower. Like, we want to see you sweaty from the gym. Like, just be you. You can be in your pajamas. Like, we don't care what you look like. And it's such an opportunity to really embrace that. And what's happening when we do that is really allowing ourselves and giving ourselves permission to be our authentic selves. And this is a huge root, you know, in our childhood. At some point, we were all taught to stop being really authentically who we were, right? We learned to sit still, raise our hand, ask to go to the bathroom. Don't be too loud. Don't be too this, you know, don't be too energetic.
Especially as women, I'm just interjecting that in, especially as women, we're kind of told to be less than who we are.
Yes.
Fit into this box, make yourself smaller.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, I've been really fascinated. I'm diving more and more this year into becoming trauma-informed and learning about trauma. And I follow Gabor Maté. He's a huge inspiration of mine in the addiction space and really understanding that wound of, you know, our basic need as a child, yes, being connection and safety, but also being our authentic self is actually a basic need. Being able to be fully expressed, be silly, be you, be loud. I was always the one that was like, Danny, stop being so loud or don't be too sensitive, right? Like all of these twos, right? I know you're, Siobhan's like, yep, me too. Yeah. And maybe some of you listening, right? Like these are really actually deep wounds that now are running our world. And when we don't feel like we're really our authentic selves, and many of my clients come to me just no idea who they are, right? Like there's an identity crisis. We have no idea who we are because we've been shaped by society to be someone else. And that energetic disconnection and spiritual disconnection is a beautiful place to fill with sugar, right? To this false sense of happiness. It can be alcohol. It can be other things too, right? Netflix and Instagram and all these addictive things that just take us outside of ourselves because this inner turmoil is too much to deal with. And it's uncomfortable, like you said, Siobhan. And we do have to get to a place where we learn to make friends with the discomfort. It's never going to feel comfortable, but we can be friends with it. And we can know that it will leave. It'll dissipate, that we'll be okay through it. And also learn how to support ourselves through it. You know, I actually had a really triggering email sent to me last week. And it was just really beautiful to observe. Yes, I got super triggered. I was very angry and very sad and frustrated. There was a lot that came up, but observing how, you know, I could actually support myself with the processing of that instead of lashing out, I still haven't replied to the email, by the way. You know, I'm really sitting on it and dealing with my emotions, you know, moving my body, doing some, you know, really aggressive writing and dancing and working with my therapist. And like, I'm getting the emotional support that I need. And, you know, we can learn those new ways of being when we connect more with ourselves. So It's deep. This is like a really deep, like big conversation that we could spend hours on. But I think it's really important to mention, like, while you're talking about the group support, it's so important. It's healing ourselves in so many more ways than just with food.
I agree. And especially creating that safe space for women that you can do that and show up as your authentic self. Because yeah. I feel like so many times we're not able to have that opportunity. And then the healing isn't as deep as it would be if you can just let go and just be yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm glad we got off on this tangent, because I think that's something probably I don't think that I've ever really addressed on the podcast, and something that I think a lot of women listening to is really going to resonate with them. And it makes me kind of sad that that's the way that it is, and creating these groups and showing it doesn't have to be that way, that we can be really supporting, loving, not judgmental, all of those things. So
yeah, so beautiful.
I love it. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this kind of inner work, because that's such a big piece of your, you know, program. I love that you're launching in April, definitely around the emotional stuff that comes up. So talk to us a little bit more about how else you work with people to get into this inner work. What are other themes and topics that kind of come up to address?
Yeah. Yes. I've mentioned a few already, and I want to mention this as well, because I hope I can say this. I know I love bringing you in at the program that I'm hosting in April will be really specific around the inner work. So we're not even going to spend any time detoxing from sugar, which I know is like mind blowing for people, but this inner work piece is the biggest piece. So we're really going to be focusing on learning to feel again, like the emotional component, building our own emotional resiliency in our toolbox. And I'm so excited to bring you in, Siobhan, for VIPs in that program to do some emotion code sessions. I mean, your work in emotion code has been such a huge tool for me, and I love working. I work with Siobhan personally, like to process through some of the stuff that's like this baggage that's been hanging around for my inner child. We had a really big session a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, these are tools that we're going to be able to include. And I love that you're going to be coming in for that. So some of the other things that we're going to be diving into, and that I see as like really big, we'll call them root causes, right? Foundational pieces, is the biggest one would be the emotional piece. So, and I, you know, we don't have to dive too deep into that, but the biggest one is really how we relate. I think for most women, it's an emotional craving. There's an emotional connection there. We have to start repatterning that. So that's where we're going to be spending most of our time in the program. And that's where I spend most of the time with my clients, is really diving into that piece, which is often the most difficult because it doesn't feel good and it's uncomfortable, but it feels so great afterwards when you can really honor and learn how to navigate and support yourself. So some of the other places are the limiting beliefs, like I mentioned. We're definitely going to be diving into that, like really understanding how our belief systems are formed and how we can start recreating new patterns. So this is way beyond just building a new habit. This is really understanding the neural pathways and understanding like how through, you know, how we actually rebuild a new way of seeing and the world. And I've personally done this myself, you know, not only my beliefs about money and business and friendships and relationships and food, like this can be a system that's anything in your life, you know, that you want to shift. So we're going to be diving into beliefs. I know I mentioned already about identity, really like uncovering who am I, who is my authentic self? Obviously that's a question we can be asking for the rest of our lives, but we're going to be, you know, diving into that. That's a really, really big one. Trauma is, I'd say, the root, you know, root of where these belief patterns and everything come from. So understanding trauma, big T and little T trauma, which are different. And we all have trauma. I'm going to say that we all have trauma. We're human beings on this planet having an experience. It's just part of life, right? It's part of life. It's that one person that yelled at you, or the one person that bullied you, you know, when you were younger, and it shaped who you are and how you show up. We'll be diving into that. We're going to be diving into, like, I know we talked about emotions already, but stress, you know, is such a big one. You know, stress eating, you know, anyone, I wish we were all together. I could make you raise your hand. Who here stress eats? Yep. Right. So stress or boredom and all those triggers. We're really going to be diving into cravings. What other pieces, such as like setting healthy boundaries? You know, a lot of us have never, especially as women, we've just never set boundaries or held the boundary. So there's a difference. You can set a boundary, but if someone pushes it, do you hold it or do you just cave in? Right. And I think most of us will cave in. I've done this lots. Like, here's my boundary. I'm only going to answer my emails once a day. And then I'm in there like answering my emails all day. Right. So how are those boundaries showing up for you? not just around food and with yourself, but with other people, right? And triggering situations. Like, do we need to set boundaries around, you know, whose house we go to, or, you know, any possible situations we're going to walk into where we might get, you know, a temptation to have sugar. So those boundaries are really, really an important one we're going to be diving into and learning about and practicing actually how to set, and you're going to be setting them in the program. Also people pleasing, right? We can't talk about sugar, right? People pleasing, how much that actually is underneath our tendency to just eat sugar, right? If somebody bakes you a batch of cookies and they put all sorts of like love and energy into them, well, I guess I have to eat them all. So like the total people pleasing tendencies in us that keep us hooked on sugar as well. And there's just so many layers below that we're going to be diving into. Perfectionism. We're definitely going to talk about, where your cravings are coming from, how to handle those, and inner child pieces as well. I'm really excited to bring that. So like the list is endless, really. And, you know, those are really the biggest ones that I see most people dealing with and struggling with at the root. And that's enough to keep us busy for years and doing all of that inner work. But for most of us, those are a lot of the biggest ones, and we can start to get curious and explore other nuances as well, and how to handle certain situations and being curious about where those are coming from. So lots of fun pieces to work on.
Yeah. And I love that it's just, again, addressing the root cause. You know, this is something we hear so little of in the medical, you know, world, in, you know, just for everything. Like we put a band-aid on things, or here's this medication, here's that. And that's what a lot of us are looking for. Like you mentioned earlier in the interview, I know I was, like, I wasn't excited about giving up sugar and flour. I wanted something that was the quick fix, you know, but a lot of times then that's not sustainable. And we get right back into these old habits if we don't do a lot of healing work. So we really have to, this stuff is so important. And really, to make this a success and sustainable lifestyle, we really have to address those root causes. And again, going in a way that you feel loved and supported and safe, it's a much more gentle, it's still going to be difficult and uncomfortable. And you're going to realize, you know, this doesn't feel great all the time, but so much more gentle than it could be, especially doing some of the stuff on my own. I was just so hard on myself. And now I kind of look back and wish I had some more self-compassion. And the people pleasing, again, I just think women, you know, we are just like, again, how culture and society shapes us to be people pleasers. And I still, you know, I'm over 4 years sugar and flour free now, you know, abstinent 100%, because that's, you know, what works for me. But last night I had dinner with a friend, and we had this really nice Indian meal. And then they brought out, like we said, we didn't want dessert, but they brought out a free dessert. And I felt like guilty. I was like, can you eat some of that? Cause I'm going to feel bad if they brought this out and I'm not going to have any. You know, it was just like a scoop of sorbet or something. So I had my friend, have, you know, just, and I was just like, wow, it stuck in my mind. Here I am 4 years later and felt like I couldn't say, you know, still wanting to people please, you know, this restaurant I've never even been to before. So it's really interesting once you're tuned into some of these patterns to then observe them coming up. And I love, like, when you can get to that place. And I love this about your mind, Dani, you're just such a curious person. Mm-hmm. And I think when you can approach this from that curiosity, it doesn't feel as intimidating and overwhelming and scary as it can in the very beginning. It's like, again, just more of that gentle approach, but also being authentic and real. Like, you're not sugarcoating anything. And I love that expression, because that's what we do to numb things, you know, like you're really meeting these big things head on, but also kind of in that gentle place too, where you can really feel supported. So I think, and then you do this. So this, I know this one in April is going to be 8 weeks long.
Yeah.
And I hear from a lot of people that even emotion code clients that, you know, haven't done my coaching, but they reach out to me, you know, for emotional eating things. And they're like, yeah, I've been sugar-free for up to two years. And then something happens at work and I'm just right back. So this too, what I love is for really can help so many people. And really probably beyond the sugar addicts of the world, like you said, it really can apply to really anyone that has these coping mechanisms and not addressing these underlying things. So it's really a powerful, and 8 weeks, I mean, that's, you know, in some ways, like a short amount of time to get the huge results that I'm sure you see after programs like this. So I love that, you know?
Yeah. This is pretty much for any human being. You were describing it like anyone who has these coping mechanisms. I was like, that's all of us.
That's everybody.
Yeah. And this, like, you know, why I'm so excited about this program is because, you know, we're taking the food conversation out of it. And I know so many people are like, what are you talking about? We have to talk about food. But I feel like that's the piece that's quote unquote the easiest, right? It's, you know, you can go sign up for another, you know, 30-day detox somewhere or like get, like, there's so many resources out there to do that part of the journey. But this inner part of the journey is where we need the most support. It's where, you know, we need the most compassion. We need to be met with that. And yeah, my approach is very much like tough love, like a lot of love and compassion and zero judgment, but the truth, right? So that we can all face it together. And you know, the truth being that most of us don't love ourselves and most of us don't feel worthy, and that's okay. And how do we start feeling that again? How do we start supporting ourselves and, you know, setting those loving boundaries and starting to feel more empowered? That's why I use that word. Like, this is really about helping all of us step into our power, find our truth, speak our truth. And through that, you know, and all of these repatternings, we really get to live a free, right? This is where real freedom comes from, you know, is from this inner place. And I wanted to touch on something else you said, Siobhan, because this is really coming up for me a lot lately, and we'll be absolutely having these conversations and building this in. There is also this very real truth that we are human beings and we're going to mess up. We're going to do things like we're never going to be the same for the rest of our lives. So like you were sharing that story of someone who is, you know, sugar and free for 2 years and then, you know, had something happen and went back. So like, I'm getting really curious around how can we observe ourselves, you know, say emotional eating and knowing that it's not good for us, but also knowing that it's okay and not guilting ourselves and knowing that when we're ready, we will navigate out of that. I was just having a conversation with a close friend earlier today, and she's struggling with that. And you know, really knowing from within that we have the tools and the resiliency to step out of that when we want. And I think that's really what I'm going to be doing in this program, or we're going to be doing together with everyone who joins, is getting to that place after 8 weeks where even if you have a bad week and you observe yourself back in old patterns or habits, really being gentle with yourself there and observing, well, isn't this interesting, right? Like, I wonder why this is coming up for me. And also it's okay. You know, in a week or two, when I'm ready, I'm going to get back to, you know, what I know is best for me. But for right now, this is what I need. Or like, you know, there has to be some flexibility. And I think this is where a lot of people get so stuck, because we have been trained by the diet industry to think black or white. Right. So a big piece of what I do and how I teach is really helping you find the gray, helping you find the humanity in anything, right? Embracing failure, seeing it as a gift, learning to repattern those beliefs, right? That failure is actually awesome. I love failing. So I'm like, yes, I learned something new. I fail all the time. Every week there's something great that I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. Good learning. Thank you. So how can we have that self-compassion, like you mentioned? And I think like changing our mindset to start thinking that way on a daily basis is one of the most freeing things we'll ever do for ourselves. So
yes. It's like, that's just what's like screaming out to me right now, is the self-compassion, like doing the inner work with self-compassion, you know, and that's like, I feel like, again, it's so hard for women. And I just, you know, did a podcast episode about this recently, where it's like, if we could only talk to ourselves, like we talk to other women and our friends and our family and our kids, you know, it's like, we need to start doing that same, you know, level of love to ourselves as well. So I think that's a whole nother, you know, bigger issue here, but I really like that that's your approach. And yeah, it's okay. And the gray area for addiction is like, I am so black or white, all or nothing. You know, it's something that I'm totally aware of. You have good friends that point that out all the time. They're like, of course, because you're all or nothing. And it is, it's really hard. It's very common in addicts to have that gray space. So it's so good to start. I am getting more comfortable with that, but it does take work and effort on my part because it's just not my natural inclination. So that you really kind of reside in that area is such a huge need in this addiction industry because even coach, you know, we're so like, it can be very all or nothing. So it is really good to get people. And again, it's uncomfortable in the gray area.
Well, we've lived our whole lives being in black or white. Right. And I don't believe that that's what human existence is about. You know, I really believe that we can find the gray and find the, you know, the compassion and the love and the kindness for ourselves when we're in those areas or when we're doing things that we know aren't supporting our higher good. Right. And observing that from a place of love, so, you know, like what's really, you know, breaks my heart. And I see out there, right? This diet culture of shaming yourself and fighting, fight, fight, fight. Like we have this like hate and this fight relationship with food. How can we actually fall in love with food again? How can we actually enjoy sitting down and even having a brownie if you're going to choose to do that, right? Like instead of bringing all of this hate and this fear, right? Like we're living out of fear when it comes to food. All of us women, you know, that's how we were raised. That's what the food industry wants us to feel, afraid so they can sell us the solution, right? And how can we come at that? And I think the answer is love. You know, I think the answer is self-compassion, self-love, really being gentle and kind with ourselves, but also being honest. I'm not using this as a cop-out to just eat like crap all day and be like, but I love myself. No. This is really like understanding when those times come, but being firm enough with yourself to know like, okay, I'm going to get out of this. And here's my plan, right? I'm not going to continue treating myself this way because I love myself. And when you do, you know, those decisions become easier. And, you know, I think that's the biggest place that people get tripped up is because we are humans. We are never going to know, like we're always evolving and there's going to be a new tricky situation that comes up and a new thing that we struggle with. And we're like, oh no, I'm emotional eating again. Oh no, I had sugar again. Like, you know, instead of kind of thinking through that perfectionist lens or the black or white, like this is it for the rest of my life. Right. And being open to the opportunity that maybe that changes or maybe something shifts. Right. And knowing that you'll have the power and the know-how and the tools to handle it and to navigate it with love instead of hate and fear, which I think so many of us have been taught to, you know, the willpower, the fight with food, right? The fight against our body, what it looks like, fighting against food.
Even like no pain, no gain, like all
Totally. Things. The messaging is everywhere. Like you have to work hard to make money. Like, you know, everything has to be a fight. Right. And how can we actually surrender? And I do a lot of, I mean, this is a lot of my spiritual practice coming through now, like surrendering. How can we trust ourselves? How can we trust the universe or whatever you believe in? You know, how can we really flow with life instead of go, 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 fight, fight, fight? You know, I think that's where a lot of the anxiety and the depression, and I mean, we look around at the state of our mental health and our physical health in the world. And, you know, yes, a lot of it's coming from the physical sides of sugar and the crap we're eating. But, you know, a lot of it is this inner fight instead of really just taking a breath, right? Being in the present moment, slowing down. That's been my hardest work. By the way, I'm a type A. I love to plan and have checklists. And so over the last 5 or 6 years, that's been huge for me to learn to slow down and be okay with stillness and silence and welcoming that and welcoming in whatever comes in the silence, right? And learning to like actually enjoy life. Really, you know, this is so beautiful. I know we were just chatting before, right? Like, you know, remembering to like find joy and be playful. And this is a big part of what I'm doing this year. One of my goals is to be more playful, like really tapping into my inner child because I'm actually really silly. I didn't know if you knew this about me. I'm super silly. I have a perverted sense of humor. Like I love to be loud and very expressive. And, you know, that's something that's been beat out of me. And I want to do more cartwheels and play on the playground and like just be silly and tap into that fun, playful side. And that's a really big part and actually something we're going to be diving deep into in the program as well and helping us uncover our true selves. We have to be curious about play again, right? And fun and allowing ourselves to, you know, let the silliness out, which is a lot of fun once you start tapping into that.
I love this conversation so much. And it's like, you've given us all these good ingredients. I'm almost thinking it up, you know, like self-love, compassion, joy, playfulness. And the other word that was coming up to me as you were talking that has been such a big part of my journey too, is acceptance. You know, just accepting the way that, you know, I am the way I am in some ways, just like loving acceptance, like instead of, again, being so harsh and critical of ourselves, if we can learn to accept some things, it just makes life so much easier. Like, okay, yep, I'm stress eating again. What can I do? What tools do I have now that I can shift back, you know, because I know I'll feel better when I'm not doing that. And it just, again, accepting and coming from that place of self-love and compassion is so huge.
Yeah. That's the biggest, biggest piece. Like that is really so huge on this journey. And oftentimes I remind people as well, because I know, you know, one of the biggest roots of this for all of us is that disconnection from actually unconditionally loving ourselves. And, you know, that can feel really overwhelming for a lot of people because we've never loved ourselves and, you know, that's not our fault. It's just the state of the world and how we've been raised and disconnected from ourselves. So acceptance is that step towards there, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can't even think about loving yourself right now or your body or what you're doing, right, just work on accepting it, like work on really focusing on that on a daily basis. Like, can I accept myself right now, even though I look a certain way, or I've gotten myself into a certain situation that I'm not happy with, you know, how can we actually just lean into that? And I think that's such a powerful step, you know, on that way to love, you know, love being the ultimate goal, which hopefully we get to before we die, but who knows? I mean, it's a quest. I'm still on it.
Such a quest. And I we're out of time. We went a little over even, but I just felt like our conversation was so important. And I'm sure so many women are getting so much out of this. So thank you so much for sharing and showing up so authentically. Like you always just, I was telling Danny, I was a little tired before this. As soon as I saw her face, I was like, oh, burst of energy. You're just one of those people that give so much good energy.
I have a superpower. I have energetic superpowers.
Yeah. I love it. So let us know, you know, how to get in touch with you, how to find you, you know, especially if this program is resonating with people, how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if anything that I shared about these topics and the inner work is resonating with you and the emotional eating and all the other topics that I introduced, come on over to, I'll give Siobhan a link. I have a wait list. So I'm just getting all the details finalized and I'll be releasing information and registration to that program the end of March, beginning of April. So if you want to be the first to know all the details, come and get your name on the wait list. I also have some great free resources over on my website. So DanielleDame.com, you can find over there. I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Danielle Dame, and also my podcast, which I just recently launched. And Siobhan, I can't wait to have you on the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast. You can find that on all the places that you listen to podcasts and dive into some more of this. We're having a lot of these inner work conversations over there. And let me know. Please never hesitate to reach out. I'd love to hear. Send me a DM or message me. And this is a conversation I'm very passionate about. And yeah, really, really grateful that you had me on today, Siobhan. This is so good. And I can't wait, like I said, to have you on my podcast. We're going to hook that up in the next couple of weeks.
Well, thank you. And just if there's one final takeaway that you want to leave with people listening today, whether it was something we didn't get to touch on that you're like, oh, wait, I wanted to mention that, or just anything that is really, you're just feeling you want to share one last time for people.
Yeah, I think just, again, listening to my intuition, which is a skill that I've learned over the years. Curiosity. Just focus on the word curiosity every single day in everything you do, like childlike curiosity. And at the same time, don't take yourself so seriously. Like you don't have to be an adult. Being an adult, I remember seeing a meme one time, it said like, don't grow up, it's a trap. And I was like, that's right, right? So allow yourself to be goofy, laugh at yourself. You know, I spilled hot wax all over my window today because I spilt over a candle and I just start laughing at myself. You know, like how can we not be so hard on ourselves? And every day in those little moments, maybe you spill your meal on the floor or you stub your toe, right? Like how can you just laugh at yourself? So bring that, you know, that lightness, allow yourself to just not take things so seriously. Remember the bigger picture. And I think that's just going to make all of this journey that you're on, wherever you are, so much easier.
Love it. So true. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.